Page 975, Matthew 10, starting at verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Please keep that passage open. And let's pray. Lord, thank you that as we open your word, that we can anticipate hearing your voice. So please speak to us today. Please help us, help me, as I preach, to do so faithfully and clearly. Please help us as we listen to be attentive and then to respond as we should. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back in this section of Matthew's Gospel that calls us to think about the topic of mission or evangelism, that is, telling others about Jesus. Last week, David started by asking us how we feel when we think about evangelism. Today I want to ask, what stops us? What factor most commonly holds you back from speaking to others about Jesus, if you're a Christian? Because we should want to, shouldn't we? The gospel is good news. We're told, saw last week, Jesus goes out proclaiming good news. We've got good news for people. Amazing that people like us can be reconciled to God, put back in a right relationship with him, because he's a God of compassion who came down and came to save us. He went to the cross. He laid down his life for us so we can know him and have the prospect of being with him forever in his future kingdom where there will be no more suffering. It's good news, isn't it? That is good news. We should long for people to know it. So what stops us? Well, there might be a few reasons. Maybe we feel we're not very good with words or don't quite know where to start. Maybe you think, well, I don't really know my Bible very well, so you know, what do I do if they ask me a question? But I'm sure that one reason towers above all of the others, and it's that we fear rejection, don't we? We fear rejection. We're afraid that people won't like it, that they'll take offence, that they'll think less of us, that they'll turn against us. Or if we're close to them, that they'll start to back off. That's the thing, isn't it? We fear. We fear losing friends, and we fear making enemies. Isn't that our main reason? Well, given that, wouldn't it be helpful if this section on mission had something to say about rejection and opposition? Well, that's exactly what we have. And we should be grateful for that. I don't know how you found the reading. It's quite difficult, isn't it, to listen to. I think when I started to study it, my first reaction was, oh, this is tough. But the closer I've looked at it and the more I've reflected, the more I've realised it's just what we need. It's strong medicine, but we need to trust God that it is just what we need when we fear rejection. You can see three things here. Don't be surprised. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. So first, don't be surprised. One of the great annoyances of life today is small print, isn't it? You know, you sign up for something that looks like a great deal. I think cheap airline flights are a great classic example, aren't they? You see it, Barcelona from £29, amazing. But then in the small print, actually it only applies on Christmas Day. And if you want to take a bag bigger than a matchbox, there's another £50. And, did you want to be inside the plane? Sorry, that's it. That's even more. But it's there, but it's hidden deep in the small print because they don't want you to see it. Well, we can't accuse Jesus of putting any mention of opposition in the small print, can we? It's very clear in this passage. As he sends out his 12 disciples with his authority as an extension of his ministry, telling them to preach the good news, to demonstrate his authority, he's completely open about what they will face. Look, verse 16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Think of that picture. I'm glad to say I've never seen what wolves do to sheep, but I think we know, don't we? The wolves will be savage and merciless. And Jesus says that will be the experience of his disciples as they go out with his message. They're to be ready for ruthless opposition. Verse 17, be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Notice the opposition will come from different quarters, from religious authorities. Flogging in a synagogue, that sounds like an official punishment given by a Jewish council. But then they'll also find themselves hauled up before secular Gentile rulers as well. This is interesting. Although we saw last week, Jesus told the 12, do you remember, only to go to the Jews at this stage. Here we see he already has in mind their future mission, when they'll take the gospel out to both Jews and Gentiles. Now, we're not actually told what happens on this mission that he sends the 12 out on. But when we look ahead in Acts, we read in chapter 5 of how the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, they did this. They had the apostles flogged for teaching about Jesus in the temple courts. And then as we read on, especially as we follow Paul's conversion and his mission to the Gentiles, time and again, we see him. What do we see happens? Persecuted by the Jews, but then put on trial by the Roman authorities, ending his life in chains. We understand that all but one of the disciples were martyred. But we can't say that Jesus didn't warn them. What's more, in more general terms, he also mentions other opposition that believers will experience closer to home. Verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You can hardly believe it, can you? That division and betrayal will even cut across the closest family relationships? Is Jesus exaggerating? Well, not if you were to ask Christians in North Korea today, where the state encourages family members to inform on one another. I've met more than one Christian who was converted from a Muslim background, who were cut off from their families completely and had to flee. We have brothers and sisters who are experiencing these very things today around the world. But what about us? What about us? Because on the whole, we don't experience these things, do we? Now, of course, it's true that the level of hostility will vary according to our context and our culture. But Jesus' warning still stands. If we're seeking to make him known, we will face opposition. So don't be surprised when it happens. We need to take Jesus' point on board, verse 24, 25. A student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now think about that. Read the Gospels and see how Jesus was rejected by the authorities, the plots to kill him. Even some of Jesus' own family said he was out of his mind. So if Jesus was opposed and insulted and mistreated, then if we follow him, if we line ourselves up with him and say, yes, I belong to him, it's inevitable, isn't it? We will feel the heat as well. And Jesus is clear, isn't he? Right from the outset. The polar explorer Ernest Shackleton was supposed to have put this advert in the Times newspaper. Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful. Honour and recognition in event of success. Nothing in the small print there, is it? The danger's right up front. Now, apparently, Shackleton may not have placed that advert, though it always makes a very good story, I think. But Jesus really did warn his followers. He really did, that they would face persecution. And not only here, if you look at John 15, verse 20, he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And then the Apostle Paul says this, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So don't be surprised when it happens. Don't be surprised when you speak of Jesus or of your faith in him and people roll their eyes or change the subject or tell you to keep your beliefs to yourself. If you're at school and you're happy to be just known as a Christian there, don't be surprised if you're sort of left out of that group. People say things behind your back. If someone you thought was a friend starts to keep their distance. We were praying earlier for our students who are heading off. Got a number who are away at uni at the moment. The student years provide amazing opportunities for Christians to share the gospel. And we've got a number who are involved in those activities. But don't be surprised if we get news that they're facing all kinds of grief as they do that, from other students, even from the university authorities. Don't be surprised. Wherever we are, if we are seeking to make Jesus known, we are bound to face the heat. It's hard, but don't be surprised. Jesus is very clear. He wants us to know. Don't be surprised. Opposition will come. But secondly, don't give up. Don't give up. That's the next point. And it's very important, isn't it? Because when we're under attack, our instinct is self-preservation. And the easiest way to do that is to keep your head down and your mouth shut. You know, just don't let it be known that you're a Christian and you can avoid the trouble. And so we need to listen to Jesus. He says, no, keep going, keep going. Because notice the purpose of persecution is witness. Verse 18, Jesus says, on my account, you will be brought before governors and as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. So I'm going to read that again just for emphasis. He says, on my account, you will be brought before governors and as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. When the disciples are brought before the authorities, when they're put on trial because of Jesus, it is a moment for them to witness, to point to him and who he is, and to their loyalty to him. And just when the disciples might be thinking, well, I don't know what I'd say under that kind of pressure, Jesus reassures them with a wonderful promise, verse 19, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what you're to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Isn't that a great promise? And like the promise that Jesus gives to all his followers at the end of Matthew's gospel, as he sends them out to make disciples, he says, surely I am with you. He's with us to help us. Now, again, this is something we see repeatedly in the book of Acts. When the apostles are put on trial, and they seem to be in the biggest trouble, that's when they point to Jesus most clearly. And there's something incredibly powerful and compelling about that, about Christians who keep speaking when they are facing persecution, because it just makes people wonder, why do you do that? Why do you put up with it? Why don't you stay silent or fight back or keep your head down? It kind of points to the fact that actually Jesus is worth it, that it's true, he's real, he's Lord. You pick up a bit of that in Acts chapter 5, mentioned earlier. The Sanhedrin, they summon the apostles because they're preaching in the temple courts. And we're told that they had them flogged, and then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I think that'll teach them. And then we're told the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of disgrace for the name of Jesus. And then we're told they carried on proclaiming the good news every day in the temple courts and from house to house. They just kept going. When persecution comes, it is a moment to point to Jesus. Keep going. Now, that doesn't mean that we should seek trouble. Jesus says that they should, where are we, verse 16, he says they should be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Shrewd as serpents, I think that means they're not to be naive. See trouble coming, you might be able to avoid it. Verse 23, he says, if you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. I think we need to understand the point isn't so much fleeing for safety as go and witness there as well. But if they do find themselves in the spotlight, they should be as innocent as doves. Just be open, transparent about their faith in Jesus. And above all, be faithful. See verse 22. Jesus says, you'll be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's an amazing verse, because Jesus has just spoken about Christians being betrayed and even put to death. But even if it comes to that, he says, stand firm, stay loyal, and be assured that you will be saved eternally. And isn't that the ultimate security that the gospel gives us? If we stick with Jesus, no matter what people do or say, actually our future with him is guaranteed. So when opposition comes, don't give up. It's an opportunity to stand firm. Now, I think one implication of this is that it helps us to pray when opposition comes. It teaches us the thing we should pray is for boldness to keep speaking of him. So imagine that we do hear that some of our students are under attack because of an event, an evangelistic event that they're running. Now, imagine we would be really concerned, wouldn't we? We'd rightly pray that they wouldn't be shaken, if possible, that things could be resolved. But the thing we should really pray is for boldness, that in the face of opposition, the Lord would strengthen them to speak clearly and graciously of Jesus. Same goes for persecuted Christians that we hear of through our mission partner, Open Doors. It's hard, isn't it? We hear of their suffering. And it's right that we should identify with them in their pain. We should weep with them and do whatever possible we can do to bring them support. But we should also pray for boldness. And have you noticed how often they ask us to pray for boldness, that even in the midst of their trials, they would keep testifying to Jesus? And the same goes for us. Wherever we might face resistance, opposition, slander, it's very easy to pray that it would just all go away, to think, we should just avoid those situations, those people. Well, yeah, we do need to be wise, but more than that, we need boldness to graciously speak of Jesus. And don't worry about what to say. The Lord will give you the words. That's not a promise that you'll have a kind of snappy three-point sermon up your sleeve. It's just saying that if you're determined to be loyal to Jesus, he'll give you something to say. It might be as simple as, actually, I do believe that. I do believe in Jesus. He's my Lord and Saviour. My favourite example in this, maybe read it afterwards, is the man who Jesus heals of his blindness in John 9, who straight away faces all kinds of opposition and persecution from the synagogue rulers. And that they're all over him and quizzing him and angry about what's happened. And he just keeps saying, well, I don't know much, but all I know is that I used to be blind and now I can see. You know, all I know is that Jesus has made my life amazing. And all of us can point to Jesus in some way like that. Don't worry, the Lord will help you. He's with you. When persecution comes, it's an opportunity to point to him. So don't be surprised. Don't give up. And finally, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And isn't it brilliant? Did you notice at the end of the reading, Jesus says that three times? And given what I said at the start, that's just what we need to hear, isn't it? We need Jesus to tell us, don't be afraid. And he gives us these three reasons. So don't be afraid, he says, because the truth will come out. 26, do not be afraid of them. For there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. I think one of the things that stops us speaking about Jesus is we feel as though we can see something that no one else can see. You know, it kind of makes no sense to them. It feels like to them, though, we're talking nonsense, or it's sort of just made up. It's like we're trying to point to a stunning view, but a thick cloud has come down and they can't see it at all. But Jesus says, no, you need to think ahead. One day, everything will be made clear. That is how Judgment Day is described, as a day when everything is revealed. Jesus is revealed in his glory, and his people are revealed as belonging to him. It's like the cloud will be lifted, and everything will be clear. And so Jesus is saying that knowing that day is coming, don't be afraid of pointing to him now. You know the truth, actually. You're living in the light of reality. So don't keep it hidden. Let it be known. Don't be afraid. The truth will come out and you know it. Next, don't be afraid of people who are limited in what they can do. 28, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. The Bible often makes this point. It says that the best antidote to fearing people is to fear God. The God who we should rightly fear. Last term we saw in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we're wise to recognize that even those who make life hard for us because we're Christians, they have limited power. Jesus says, well, the worst they can do is kill us. Much better to fear the Almighty and Holy God who has eternity in his hands. Someone who saw this clearly was the first Christian martyr, Polycarp. When Bishop Polycarp was told he would be thrown into the flames if he didn't curse Christ, he said, you threaten me with a fire that burns for an hour and is soon quenched. For you are ignorant of the fire, the coming judgment, and eternal punishment stored up for the ungodly. See, he had clear thinking, clear sight. He stayed faithful because he knew there was a limit to what anyone could do to him. And then third, don't be afraid because your Father has got you. Your Heavenly Father has got you. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. In those days, sparrows were sold to the very poor as food. A sparrow, they're literally to a penny, that's where the phrase comes from. A sparrow was of very little value. And yet Jesus says, just think about it, the lifespan of every single sparrow is determined by God's sovereign hand. And so he argues, if the Lord oversees the life of every single sparrow, then surely if you are one of his precious children, then your life is secure in his hands. Every hair on your head is accounted for. Anything that happens to you will only happen under his sovereign hand. And that's good to know, isn't it, when we're under attack? You know, when people attack us, we kind of feel like we're in their hands. But Jesus says, no, quite the opposite is true. What happens to you is entirely decided by your loving Heavenly Father. Nothing will happen to you without his permission. He knows you completely. He loves you. Even when people make life very hard, you are in his hands. So let's find encouragement in these words. Let's take this strong medicine. We're all called to be part of Jesus' mission. When opposition comes, even tomorrow, this week, don't be surprised. Jesus has told us clearly, don't give up. Stand firm. Keep pointing to him. And don't be afraid. He is Lord. And you are in his hands. Let's pray. Lord, as we read these words straight away, we see how much we need your help. Thank you, Lord, that you are open about opposition that will come as we seek to point to you. But we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. We pray that you would help us to stay faithful to you. Please give us opportunities to speak of you, and then give us boldness to do so. Help us to be gracious, but give us perseverance if we face resistance or opposition. And we pray, Lord, that you might help us not to fear others, to rightly fear you, but also to know that we are entirely secure in your good hands. For we ask in your name, Lord. Amen.